Wild Arts respectfully acknowledges the Kuishba Kuiigna, also known as Kuia Band of Indians, and all 9 sovereign bands of Kuia people who have stewarded this land throughout the generations and continue to steward this land for all future generations.
Idlewild Arts Foundation is proud to present One World, One Idlewild, the series, in conversation with Pamela Jordan. The series brings together thought leaders, creatives, influencers, and changemakers, highlighting the work of citizen artists whose careers and lives have been shaped by the transformative power of art.
Have the courage to lead.
The best thing that ever happened to me was the Northridge earthquake.
Artists throughout the world, we are the speakers of truth. We are the most authentic expression of the day, of the times.
Be determined to get the most you can from every opportunity. And where you don't see opportunities, ask for them.
Great leaders recognize that the work requires urgent patience.
You can learn about classroom management. You can learn about the new curriculum. You can learn about the new way to teach, whatever it is. But at the end of the day, if those students feel that love, they're more likely to listen, they're more likely to trust, they're more likely to be vulnerable. And in that space, that's where you can change some kid's life.
From Idlewild Arts Academy in Idlewild, California, I'm Pamela Jordan with One World, One Idlewild, the series. Today, I'm speaking with Teal Sperling, the Senior Manager of Preschool Television for Mattel. Some of her producing and development credits include the upcoming Barney reboot on Max, Barbie Vlogs digital series on YouTube with over 11 million subscribers, Fireman Sam preschool TV series, the Toy Box competition series on ABC, and the Tiny Shoulders Rethinking Barbie documentary on Hulu. Prior to her development career, Teal was an actress with the privilege of performing on stage at venues such as Radio City Music Hall and the Globe Theater in London. I am proud to say that Teal Sperling is a graduate of Idlewild Arts Academy, where she studied dramatic arts. Teal, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited that you're here too. You know, you've returned a number of times to Idlewild Arts and shared your sage advice with our students, and now I get to bring your thoughts to a broader audience, so I'm excited about that. You work at Mattel, and there's so much going on at Mattel right now. I hardly know where to begin. When did you start working for Mattel, and what are some of the changes you're most proud of during that time?
Yeah, wow. So I've been in Mattel for 10 years now, and I started as an assistant in the feature films division and have sort of worked my way through a bunch of different divisions, all in content, but I started in live action features, worked on documentaries. I worked on the Barbie documentary on Hulu called Tiny Shoulders. And I worked on some game shows. I worked on the Toy Box competition show on ABC. Have worked on a bunch of Barbie animated content, including the Barbie Vlogger. And then have sort of transitioned into television and am now doing preschool television. I worked on bringing the first autistic engine to, or excuse me, the first autistic train. He's a brake car officially, to Thomas and Friends, All Engines Go. I'm working on the new Barney animated version, and we're bringing Barney the Purple Dinosaur to a new generation. But I think I'm most excited about a lot of the sort of social impact stuff that I've been able to do while I'm there. I started, I got into sort of producing and development because I was an actor, and that's where I went to Idlewild to be an actor. And when I graduated and went into the real world, I was sort of I was getting stereotyped and sort of typecast due to my height. I'm a little person. You can't see because we're on a podcast, but I'm a little person. And so I actually got into producing because I was like, there's no one behind the scenes that's a gatekeeper that looks like me or that is a sort of marginalized community in the disability community like me. So a lot of what I've been so proud to work on at Mattel is a lot of the social impact stuff that has a big theme, a big message that's saying things to kids about the world we live in and sort of expanding their minds in the sense of who we are as people. This topic of disability is very important, as well as sort of underrepresented communities and giving voice to people who we haven't seen represented a lot in content, especially kids' content.
It's so interesting to hear you speak about that. I think that, I don't know, maybe it's because I don't have kids and I work with teenagers, but really all so much that's going on at Mattel. One of the things that I've always been fascinated with is your work with the vlog on YouTube. I read that the vlog had over 11 million subscribers.
Yeah.
What were your goals with the vlog, and why do you think it was so popular?
Yeah, I think, you know, it was started by a great group of people. I think the cool thing about Mattel and the cool thing about Barbie is that there are so many people that work on that brand in particular. So it was started by a great group of people, a small group of people. And it was really started by Julia Pister, who was the writer and sort of created it. And I think that Barbie had never been a character in content before. She'd always been like Barbie as Rapunzel, Barbie as the fairy queen. She had never been herself as a 17-year-old girl. And so this was our first opportunity to actually give Barbie herself a character and a voice and an opinion and say the things that girls and kids today, teenagers, were actually thinking and wishing and dreaming. So Barbie, as we know, is an icon in many senses. And I think that this was the first time people actually saw her as just a 17-year-old girl. And it was very exciting. And we had the opportunity, too, to like talk about the three-dimensionality of Barbie. It wasn't just this sort of icon that people had known. It was, she was a girl. She felt sad sometimes. She talked about how she saw her sister get bullied. She talked about all of these things happening in her life. She did silly challenges with Ken and had, you know, like talked about silly things too. But she also, like, we were able to bring the platform. She had her friend Nikki come on during the whole Black Lives Matter movement, and she gave her friend Nikki, who's Black, the platform and said, talk about your experiences with racism. And so to be able to sort of weave together all of the things that a teenager goes through and sort of that they have in their lives and what's meaningful to them was really, really special and like nothing I've ever been able to do before. And it was really, really meaningful. And I think hopefully the audience also sort of responded to that and was able to relate in a lot of different ways than they ever had before with Barbie.
I really encourage our listeners to check it out on YouTube. I thought, oh, I'm going to take a couple look at these, and I don't know, 40 minutes later, I was still circling through. It's some of the storylines are really, really very powerful, especially for that age group. I wanted to go back a little bit. So you went to high school here at Idlewild Arts, and you were a theater major.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about your time here. We've just loved to have you return and talk to the students and just give a real-world perspective, you know. So what was it like when you were a student here?
It was so much fun. I mean, it's been quite a while since I was a student, I'm not going to say. But, I mean, it was some of the best years of my life. Like, I loved it. It was this arts community on top of a mountain that you got to just do your art all day. I mean, you had classes as well, which I loved. All the teachers were like family. You called them by their first names, which was so unusual. And I think it's a real community. And I've definitely have felt that throughout my life. Like, I still keep in touch with so many of my classmates. And I was just at Sundance like a week ago, and I ran into 3 different alumni there. And it was like just like mini reunions all over the place. And it was so exciting to see and to I'm in touch with a lot of them, and then to reunite with a bunch of them and get back in touch has been really special. But I think it's just like it's a community of artists, and we're all bonded in that way. We all have that shared experience, and it was really special. And I you know, I miss it. So I come back all the time. I'm like, I want to be here.
It really is special. It's such a foundation, mm-hmm. you know, in really important years in your life. And those relationships, I think every graduating class says, you know, it was everything, and they run into them in New York. They run into friends, and that's great. So, all right, back up a little bit more. Tell me about your childhood.
So I was born in Boulder, Colorado. And then I sort of have moved around a little bit. I moved to Minneapolis when I was 11. And I've been doing theater my whole life. Since I was 5 years old, I did summer theater all the time. And then when we moved to Minneapolis, I did children's theater and got much more involved. And then I was like, looking for something. I wanted to continue to do theater. Was really serious about it. And then I found Idlewild, and I was like, oh my God, that's what I want to do. But I, you know, had a fairly typical childhood. I just grew up in the mountains of Colorado, and I'm a mountain person. I love the mountains, and just have loved theater my whole life.
I love hearing about that passion, you know, when you're young, and that's what brings everyone here, is that passion. It's what the through line that runs, you know, through the student body. Whether they go on to pursue it, you know, doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. Most do, of course, but really it's that passion that I think is the glue here. So you have been an actor. I don't want to minimize that part. You've performed at Radio City Music Hall and in London. So talk a little bit about, I don't know, how you balance it, or, you know, what kind of projects you've done.
Yeah. So when I graduate, I went to Rutgers. After Idlewild, I went to Rutgers University in New Jersey. And then the day my junior year, actually, at Rutgers, I went to the Globe Theater in London, and I got to study there the whole year, which was unbelievable. One of my favorite experiences as well. And so I got to perform on the Globe stage, do Shakespeare, which was just a dream. And so that was really fun. And then when I graduated college, I moved to New York the day after I graduated. And I did some theater in New York. Like you said, I did Radio City Music Hall Christmas Spectacular, which was fun, for a couple years. I did some off-Broadway stuff, some classical theater. I did, for a second... blank and you'll miss me moment, but I was on Sesame Street.
Oh, cool.
I know. I got this random thing, and I didn't even know what it was. And I was like, oh, I'll just like submit myself. And they called me, and they were like, oh, it's Sesame Street. And I was like, what? And so I got to dance with one of the Muppets, Murray, the Word on the Street segment. And I'm literally in it for like 1 second. But the fact that I got to like work with a Muppet, I was like, okay, I can retire now. Like, that's all. That's my dream. So that was really fun. And then I did a couple of web series with some friends that wrote parts for me, which was unbelievable. But I was still in the sort of general world of auditions. I was still getting really typecast. And so I was getting these roles that were fine, but like, I wanted to do more. I want to be these three-dimensional things. I want to be a lawyer or a bartender or a barista or, you know, whatever. And so I sort of realized that I needed to become a development executive or someone on the other side to sort of create these roles that I never saw or that I never got. So since then, I moved out to LA and sort of started interning for a couple producers. And actually, an alumni was working for one of them and helped get me a job, which was amazing. And then I got a job at Mattel 10 years ago and have sort of worked my way up. But it's a lot. I mean, it's a lot to balance. It's not an easy industry that we're in. It's very long hours, and it's very rigorous. But I think, like you were saying, like, it's my passion. I love it so much. And 2.5 years ago, I had a daughter, which is amazing, but also adds a lot to the mix. So it's quite a balance that I always feel like I'm still trying to balance. It's never quite 50-50, but that's just what you do. And so you just move forward, and I think I love what I do, and that's all that matters.
Your story is really amazing. You say it so matter of fact, but really moving from acting, right, to being behind the scenes is not an easy thing to do. You clearly have a number of skills that, you know, you had available to you to be able to do that, to be able to manage that. And congratulations to you. You're having a beautiful career, and I met your daughter just now and your husband and a beautiful life. Mm. You know, as we wrap up, I guess I want to ask, what have you found, what would you say is most rewarding in your life, or maybe even most surprising, just as you look over your career and since your time at Idlewild?
Oh, that's a tough question. I think that what's been most sort of surprising is that I always thought, you know, since the age of five, I was going to be an actor, and that was my life. And I think it was very scary just changing to something else or transitioning to something else. But taking that risk and sort of diving in has been the most rewarding part of it, because I had to start again at the bottom as an intern. But the journey since has been so rewarding, because I get to sort of pay it forward in a way that I never had sort of these opportunities. I never saw this sort of representation for myself or for others like me, for underrepresented communities. And so to be able to create that change for other people has been so rewarding in so many ways. And look back on like that, you know, that scary moment 10 years ago, and I'm like, it was worth it. I didn't know it at the time, but it was so worth it.
Thank you so much for sharing your story with me and with our listeners today. It's really a beautiful life, a beautiful career, and I thank you for your time, and keep up the great work.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to One World, One Idlewild, the series, presented by Idlewild Arts Foundation. At Idlewild Arts, we have always believed that art is the greatest teacher of humanity. We continue to believe that the practice of creativity hones each person's desire and ability to affect global change. My name is Pamela Jordan.
To learn more about the Academy and its world-renowned summer program, please visit idlewildarts.org. To subscribe to the One World, One Idlewild podcast, please visit idlewildarts.org/the-series. Please consider supporting the students of Idlewild Arts by visiting idlewildarts.org/giving to make a gift today. Thank you for listening to One World, One Idlewild, the series, a creation and production of Idlewild Arts Foundation. Executive producer, Pamela Jordan. Directed and produced by Rose Colella. Edited, engineered, and mastered by Justin Holmes. Graphic design by Mark Biley. Marketing and publicity by Dana Albright, Molly Maple, and Alice Metcalf. Marketing assistance by Rose Colella. Production and research assistance by Keith Miller. Creative consultation by Palencia Turner. Our theme song is Beaconing, composed and performed by the incomparable Marshall Hawkins. Pamela Jordan was appointed president of Idlewild Arts Foundation in 2014. Prior to this position, she held the distinction of being the first female and first African-American head of school of the Chicago Academy for the Arts, a position she held for 12 years. She currently serves on the board of the Association of Boarding Schools and is also a member of the Global Education Advisory Council for Shanghai Hauer Collegiate School, Kaohsiung. One World, One Idlewild, the series, is a production of Idlewild Arts Foundation. Any use of materials, including reproduction, modification, distribution, or republication without the prior written consent of Idlewild Arts Foundation, is strictly prohibited.